Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
All right, if you would open your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. This is God's Word. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way." When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you." So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to his tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now, show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, Yahweh, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Did anyone notice something different in this passage? First of all, God speaks about whether or not he will go with the Israelites. And it sounds like God's saying he's not going to go, and then God says he will go. Did God change his mind? And then it talks about Moses seeing God, speaking with him face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And then he says, let me see your glory. And the Lord says, well, I'll show you a glimpse of my back, but you cannot see my face. This passage illustrates in two different ways a principle that occurs in a number of places throughout the scriptures, and that is that in order for us to get the full picture, we've got to see that there are things that don't readily come together, but the Bible says both are true. Some refer to this as an antinomy. I don't want to go there this morning. I want us to understand that there is a need for balance, and that if we study the scripture as a whole and we study scripture in light of scripture, that is not ripping a verse out of context and building our whole theology on one verse, then we begin to understand that God's truth is a lot bigger than our brains. And we will see that very powerfully illustrated in the whole issue of Moses, who met with God face to face, as it were, and yet his longing was to know God. So, first of all, when God says, I'm not going to go with you, because if I were to go with you, I might wipe you out. Is God just playing around, or is God revealing one aspect that is very important for us to understand, and that is the greatness of his holiness and the depths of our sin? Folks, if we do not understand that God is dangerous, we don't understand God. If we don't believe in the wrath of God, we don't have a clue about who God is, and we're just worshiping idols. God is holy, holy, holy. Well, what's the difference between that and holy? Magnitude. When we read that God is holy, 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 it's saying we have a hard time getting our minds around holiness. And God is not just holy. He is holy multiplied. If we don't understand that God is holy and that we are sinful, then we don't understand ourselves or God. The more we recognize the holiness of God, the more we will realize our own sinfulness. When Isaiah glimpsed the glory of God, he said, woe is me, I am undone. Because you see, he didn't say, wow, you know, that's... It was like, oh, no. Oh, compared to him, in his presence, I feel horrible. There was a preacher in the 1800s who literally walked into a place where a bunch of guys were smoking and playing cards and gambling. And they didn't know who he was, but they wanted to know afterwards, why did they all hide their smoking material and put down their cards? Why do you think that was? I mean, they weren't killing people, but all of a sudden in the presence of someone who just exuded the presence of God, they felt ashamed of what they were doing. And that led many of them to become inquirers about what was going on. I've seen that happen in another situation in more recent times. When someone walked into a room and people immediately stopped what they were doing, even though they'd never met this person before. But the presence of God was so evident in that life that it made other people feel ashamed of their pursuits. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be filled with God? Do you want God Himself to flow His life through you? Or would you rather just try and fit in with the crowd? God said to Moses, "You don't really want me to go with you. Because if we're going to continue in our sin, if we're going to continue in our state, if we're going to try and just be normal, be like everybody else, be like those around us, it's not going to be comfortable to be around God. It could be very dangerous." Remember Balaam? He finally got permission to go and do what the king wanted him to do, sort of. So he's riding his donkey and the donkey stops. Why? Because there's an angel standing in the path with a drawn sword. What is real is something that that religious man, that prophet, that seer, Balaam, couldn't see. But the donkey saw. And he says, "If you had gone further," the angel said, "I would have destroyed you." I've been in some situations where God gave me permission to do something that I wasn't supposed to do. We had that kind of conversation. In one case, it was a church that I wanted to take. They wanted me, and I wanted to go, and I went to God, and God said, "Go ahead and go." But there was something in His tone that I didn't like. And I began to pray. God made it very clear, "I don't want you to go. You want to do what I want, or you want to do what you want? I don't want to do what I want. I want to do what He wants." "Well, can you get permission to do what you want?" Sure. Read Romans 1. God gave them up. God said, "Have it your way." God said, "Go ahead." You do not want to have that kind of relationship with God. In this passage, we see Moses saying, "God, I want you. Please, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. We're not going to leave." God says, "Go." He says, "We're not going without you." That's what God wants from us, is to want Him more than we want the promised land. Would heaven be heaven without God? It's the relationship that makes it paradise. When we go to heaven, it's not going to be streets of gold. Wow! Wow! Look! Gold! I mean, gold everywhere! No, gold in heaven is like gravel on earth. It's like dirt or cobblestones or asphalt or concrete. It's not a big deal. It's not going to be the gold that's going to get us. It's the glory of God. That is what makes heaven, heaven. That's what we have to look forward to, is being with Him, the Creator of all things. Do you long to know Him? Moses said, "God, you've got to go with us. I don't want to go without you. You said that I have your approval. You were willing to make a whole new nation from me. Please, I want you. I want you to be with us. If you're not with us, we don't want to go." That's what this is about.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. To be able to walk in the places where Jesus walked, to look out over the beautiful Sea of Galilee, to enjoy the ancient city of Jerusalem, and pray on the Mount of Olives amid the ancient trees, is an unforgettable experience. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
To learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood, visit wvr.org/Israel.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And so then we move from that to the tent of meeting. The fact that there was a tent set up outside the camp. And Moses would go and he would meet with God there. And God would come and manifest his presence. And God and Moses would talk together. Friend to friend, face to face is the description. And so we think, wow, that's really, you know, relaxed. No. What it did was to cause Moses to say, I want to know you more. Do you know what will happen if you really spend time with God? You'll want to know him more. If you don't want to spend more time with God after you've spent time with God, maybe it wasn't God you were spending time with. Because the more you know him, the more you want to know him. What does the Apostle Paul say in his letter to the Philippians is his great cry of his heart, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, even being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection. The longing of St. Paul's heart was to know Jesus more. He's already met him. He's risked his life for him time and again. He's in prison. As he writes the letter, he's in prison, and he's writing it to a group of people who were in a place where he had been in prison. This is a guy who knew God. He didn't just know about him. He knew Jesus. He had an intimate, personal relationship with the Lord, and the great cry of his heart, what do you want? What can I do for you? He said, I just want to know Jesus more. Not just know about him, not just concept. I want to be conformed to his likeness. I want to be made like him. I want Jesus to be seen in me. I want people, when they get around me, to feel like they're in the presence of God. That is what Moses prayed for. After meeting with God as intimately as it's possible for a person to meet, he says, God, let me tell you what I really want. Hear me. This is my heart's cry. Show me your glory. I want to know you more. God says, you can't handle it. I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. It's too wonderful. It's beyond description. It's beyond comprehension. You cannot, no matter how close you get to God, you can't get the whole thing. No matter how well you know him, there is always so much more than we are capable of receiving. God is so great, so glorious, so marvelous, that God says, you can't handle it. It'd be like going to the depths. You're not set up for it. All illustrations fall short. But God gives us in this chapter two images that both must be embraced if we're to begin to approach the truth. On the one hand, God allowed Moses to have the kind of intimacy with him that can be described as face-to-face conversation. On the other hand, after that had taken place, Moses still not only wanted more, but had to be told, you cannot see my face. It's to protect us. God in his mercy holds back his revelation of himself, lest we be consumed, for our God is a consuming fire. And yet, we find in Jesus the full manifestation of the glory of God. He is the exact likeness of the Father. He's able to say to his disciples, if you've seen me, John 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so this tension exists, this paradox exists, where God on the one hand says, there is so much more. Jesus says to his disciples, again in John's Gospel, I have much more to tell you, but right now you couldn't bear it. Paul prays that the people of God might know, fully know, the height and depth and breadth of the love of God, which is beyond knowledge. I want you to know what's beyond knowledge. I want you to comprehend the incomprehensible. I want you to see the invisible. It's not double talk. It's not nonsense speech. It is the truth of something that is so much bigger than we are. The more you know him, the more you're going to want to know him. But don't ever think for a moment that now you've arrived. Now I got it all figured out. Now I understand everything. Yeah, it's all clear. No, we see as in a glass darkly. We don't have it all figured out. God is too big for that. But God never contradicts himself. He's always true to his word. And he has promised that because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it is possible for us not only to know about him, but to enter into a relationship with him whereby we are increasingly changed into his likeness. Right now, we read in 1 John, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when Christ shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And what is it to be like Christ? It is to be like the Father. He is the exact representation of the Father's glory. That is too wonderful for words. That is heaven. The more you know him, the more you're going to want to know him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for revealing yourself in Scripture. And thank you that all of the Scripture points to Jesus. Please help us to believe your word and to trust in you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-4255. 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.